Now you'll find a reading this morning in Psalm 116. Psalm 116. And we're reading from verse 1 through the psalm. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. I'm sure that many of us turn often to the book of Psalms. We find comfort and strength and help from the psalmist. I always feel that David, he identifies himself with us in so many different ways. And as we read about the experiences that David faced in life, we can so readily identify with what he's speaking about in the Psalms. As you read through the book of Psalms, you find in places there are little groups of Psalms that belong the one to the other. For example, Psalm 22, 23 and 24 is a little group of Psalms. Psalm 22 is known as the Psalm of the Cross. And when we read the psalmist's psalm there, you find that he speaks of many things that were fulfilled hundreds of years later when the Savior died at Calvary. The psalm begins with one of the cries of the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He talks about they nailed or they pierced my hands and my feet. He talks about the crowd of the cross and the conflict of the cross. And it's so easy when you read Psalm 22 that you can see a picture of Calvary. Psalm 23, of course, is known as the Psalm of the Crook or the Shepherd's Psalm. Because the one who died to be our Savior in Psalm 22, bless God, he lives today to be our Shepherd. And we who know the Lord can say, "The Lord is my Shepherd, I shall not want." And then, of course, Psalm 24, it's the Psalm of the Crown, because in it we read about the King of Glory. And so that little group of Psalms belong to each other. Here in Psalm 113 to Psalm 118, we have another group of Psalms. And this Psalm that we have read belongs to the group of Psalms known as the Hallel, or the Hallelujah of the Jews, which was sung at solemn feasts. In fact, these group of Psalms were sung when they celebrated the Passover. And if the Lord Jesus, when he celebrated the Passover. You remember it says that when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the night. And so Psalm 118 would probably be the last hymn or psalm that the Savior sang before he went out to face death at Calvary. Psalm 116 belongs to this group of psalms. These psalms speak and they record the goodness of God towards Israel and especially their deliverance from Egypt. And in this psalm, the psalmist is pouring out his soul to God in thanksgiving for his mercy and for his deliverance. And as he remembers all the great things that God has done for him, he resolves in his heart to give something back to the Lord. The psalmist, or the psalm, begins with a great statement. I love the Lord. And this is the key to the psalm. This is the key that opens up the psalm. The psalmist expresses his love for the Lord, and then he gives his reasons why he loves the Lord, and then he underlines his response to the Lord's love for him. And there's three things that I want to bring before you this morning as we look at this psalm. The first thing we see here is the confession of the psalmist's love. I love the Lord. Man, that was a great confession, wasn't it? I wonder, friends, this morning, can you and I say the same as the psalmist? Can you say from your heart this morning, I love the Lord? Do you really mean it? Because sometimes we say things that we don't mean. Sometimes we say things as a matter of fact. Real love comes from the heart. Jesus said, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so the question I'm asking to you this morning and to myself, is this confession coming from our heart or is it coming from our lips? Because if you love the Lord with all your heart, then that love will be seen in your life. Let me give you two examples of that. You remember when the Lord Jesus came to the home in Bethany after Lazarus was risen from the dead and Mary served and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. You remember how Mary took that pound of ointment, that spikenard, that very costly ointment, and she anointed the Savior with this ointment, and then she got down at his feet and wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. And you see, her love for him was being expressed by the sacrifice that she was making. By that ointment, it's said to have cost the whole year's wages of a laboring man. It was costly. It was precious. It was dear to Mary. But you know, she loved him so much that she sacrificed that ointment for him, and that her actions were sacrifice and her attitude was worship. We think of the law of the Hebrew slave in the book of Exodus chapter 21. You remember it tells us how that if a man had served 6 years, in the seventh he was at liberty to go out free. But if he said, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free, then his master could take him and bring him to the doorpost and bore his ear through with an awl, and he would serve his master forever. And his love for his master brought surrender. He was surrendering his freedom, his liberty. He was surrendering his whole life to serve his master. He was prepared to suffer to serve his master. My dear friends, when you love the Lord, you'll be prepared to sacrifice for him. When you love the Lord, you'll want to surrender your life to him and give your everything to him. You'll be ready to serve him and even suffer for him. When you love the Lord, you'll be ready to live in submission to his word and to stand for him. A person says they love someone, they prove that love by their actions and by their attitudes, because actions speak louder than words. What we give to the Lord will prove our love for him. What we do for the Lord will prove our love for him. How we live for the Lord will prove our love for him. The priorities that we have in our own Christian life will prove our love for him. Is it important to you that people know that you're a Christian? My dear friends, is it important to you that they know that you belong to the Savior? Is your quiet time important to you? Has it a special part in your day? Is obedience to God important to you? If we love the Lord, we live for the Lord, we'll give the Lord the first place in our life, and the things of God will be important to us. Can you say this morning, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. See, does it say it? But is it coming from our hearts? Do we really mean what we say when we say, I love the Lord? That brings us to the second point. Not only the confession of the psalmist's love, but the cause of the psalmist's love. He says, I love the Lord because. And he gives the reasons why he loves the Lord. Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The psalmist is looking back and he's remembering what God has done for him. And he says, I love the Lord because he heard me. He remembered the times when he cried to the Lord, when he came to the Lord in prayer and called upon his name, and the Lord answered him. He remembered times of danger in his life in verse 3. He says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. He remembered times of distress. He says, I found trouble and sorrow. He talks about, in verse 6, he says, I was brought low. He talks about times of despair. And then he says in verse 4, in these times, in these situations that I found myself in, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. My, he came to the Lord in his time of need, in his hour of travel, in his time of difficulty, and the Lord heard his voice and inclined his ear unto him. The Lord heard and answers his prayer. And so he praises the Lord for his love and his goodness and his mercy to him. And he says, I love the Lord because he heard me. He heard me when I called upon him. He heard me when I cried to him out of my distress. He heard me when I came to him in that time of sorrow or sickness, in that hour of crisis. Maybe you can look back this morning, I'm sure you can, to times like these in life. Times, my, when you called upon the Lord, my, in times of danger. You remember way back, friends, when we were in danger of perishing. We were lost. And then God in his grace revealed his Son, Jesus Christ. And we came as a poor lost sinner. And we called upon the Lord to save us and to have mercy upon us. And my, the Lord heard our prayer. And he brought us up out of the horrible pit. And since that, my, as we've gone through life, my, we can look to times and situations and circumstances. Maybe when times were difficult and times were hard. And now you can look back and you remember how God heard and answered your cry. And you can say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord this morning because he heard me. He heard me when I called upon him. Sometimes, you know, when you're talking to people and you get that impression, you know, what you're saying is falling on deaf ears and they're not really interested. None of us can say that about the Lord this morning. The Lord's interested in each one of us here. He cares for all his children, no matter who they are. He says, I love the Lord because he heard me. He says in verse 6, I was brought low. And he helped me. He says, I love the Lord because the Lord not only heard me, the Lord helped me. Yes, he had been at a low ebb. It may have been spiritual. It may have been emotional. It may have been physical. But he was able to say, you know, just three little words. He helped me. He helped me. I remember visiting a dear lady in hospital quite a number of years ago who had gone through major surgery. And on that bed of weakness, I sat beside her and began to read from this psalm. And when I got to this little phrase where it says, I was brought low, and he helped me, she just put her hand in mine. She says, Pastor, that'll do. That's it. She says, the Lord helped me. And dear friends, can you look back this morning and remember the times when the Lord helped you? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We all have our troubles, but Jesus knows all about our troubles. Praise the Lord, he does. He knows better than our nearest and dearest. Yea, maybe you can look back this morning to times like these in your life, times of danger, times of distress, and you can look back and now you can remember how that the Lord came and helped you. Helped you by his presence. Remember Paul having to stand alone. My, he was facing Caesar and he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. And sometimes, you know, when we're going through a difficult time and we need our friends most and you look around and there's nobody there. Oh, but the Lord was there. And dear friends, the Lord will always be there. He'll always be nearby. He'll never forsake you because that's his word and that's his promise. Now, his presence helps us to face the storm and to face the enemy. And it helps us to go into the battle. And it helps us, my, to put on the whole armor of God. And it helps us to go on instead of falling down and giving up. So many want to give up today. My, the Lord wants us to go forward. He doesn't send us forward in our own strength. He says, fear not, I will be with thee. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He helps you by his power. Now we have one living within us this morning. It's the blessed Holy Spirit of God. And he has given us power. He says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. My dear friends, if we were left to our own strength and our own devices, I believe there's not one of us would be on the road of life this morning at all. We would have failed. Helps you by his promises. Helps you by his prayers. There's one and he's interceding in the glory for you this morning. My, our great high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And bless God, he helps you by his people. Helps you by his people. He says, I love the Lord because he heard me. And he helped me. Then he says, you know, in verse 8, he helped me. He says here in verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. That's spiritual. Mine eyes from tears, that's emotional. My feet from falling, that's actual. There were so many times when the Lord came to his aid. And it was God's strength and power and grace and love that held him up. In those difficult times of life, my God held him up and God brought him through. And there's been so many times when the Lord has come to our aid, and only for him holding us up with those everlasting arms of love and compassion, my dear friends, we would have fallen. Only for the Lord bringing us through, we'd have failed. And we see the cause of the psalmist's love. He looks back and he remembers all that God has done for him. How he has helped him in difficult situations. And he says, I love the Lord. Look back this morning and remember the faithfulness and the goodness of God to you. Remember this if you're going through a hard and difficult time at this moment, that the Lord hasn't changed any. He's still the same God that was faithful and helped you in times gone by. Praise God, he's still on the throne this morning. Still there. The confession of the psalmist's love, the cause of the psalmist's love. And then the commitment of the psalmist's love. That's the third thing I want you to see as we come to the second part of the psalm. You know, as the psalmist confesses his love and explains the reasons behind his love, he then proceeds to underline the positive effect his love for the Lord has upon his own life. And what he's saying in this second part of the psalm is, because I love the Lord, I want to do something for the Lord. I want to give something back to the Lord. He says in verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his blessings towards me? What shall I render? What shall I give back to the Lord? Sometimes, you know, people, they do well in life and they remember maybe a college that has been a great help to them, and they want to give something back to that college, and they give maybe a donation of money, or maybe they think of some hospital or some medical research, and maybe they have been ill and sick and have got health, and they want to give something back to that hospital or to that research. And that's what the idea is here. The psalmist thinks of all that God has done for him and all the blessings he has bestowed upon him. And he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his blessings towards me? And you find that his love for the Lord helped him to make this commitment. And five times between verse 9 and 18, he says, I will. In verse 9, he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. In verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. And that's repeated in verse 18. And in verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. And my friends, if we love the Lord, then there will be a response from our life. It's not just all talk. There needs to be a response. There'll be this commitment in your life. And we see what it meant for the psalmist to love the Lord here. He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's the conduct of his walk. See, what he's saying is this. When you truly love the Lord, you'll want to live for the Lord. He says, I will live before the Lord in the land of the living. I will live for the Lord before the outside world. I will walk before him in the land of the living. And dear friends, if we really love the Lord, I believe we want to live for the Lord. And you go out in the morning to the workplace. Do you go out to the work to live for the Lord? When you go out to school or college in the morning, do you go out to live for the Lord? When you go out to meet people in the world tomorrow, do you go out to live for the Lord? I believe that we as Christians, we need to get back to living for the Lord. Not living for ourselves, but living for the Lord. We're all caught up with ourselves. He says, I will walk before the Lord. I want to live for the Lord, he says. He says, I will take the cup of salvation. Now, the cup is often used by the Hebrews to denote plenty or abundance. For example, the cup of trembling speaks of the abundance of misery. The cup of salvation, it speaks of the fullness of salvation. The fullness of salvation. I want to tell you this, friends. When the Lord saved you, he didn't give you a half cup. He gave you a full cup. Our cup should be full and running over. People get saved. I wonder, are they going on with God? Are they going forward with God? Are we entering into the fullness of salvation? Tell me this morning. Are you enjoying your salvation? Because we should be. Are you enjoying sins forgiven, that your sins are forgiven? Are you enjoying redemption? Are you enjoying fellowship with God? Are we enjoying fellowship with one another? Dear friends, are we entering into the fullness of salvation? Because salvation is for us to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy his salvation. I think sometimes today it was a problem or a burden that people carried. We need to enjoy God's salvation. He says, I'll take the cup of salvation. What shall I render unto the Lord? I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And that's repeated in verse 18. That's the consent of his heart. Here's a double commitment. You know, a vow is a solemn promise. And the psalmist had made promises to the Lord. And he said, I'm going to keep them. I'm going to keep them. And if we love the Lord, we'll keep our vows. And we'll honor the promises that we've made. Not only to God, but to one another. People make promises today in different places. Sometimes people make promises, they make vows. They make vows in court. I don't know whether it's still the same or not. I've never been in court, thank God. But you may be called maybe as a witness or for jury duty. And it used to be, I don't know what it's like now in our politically correct society when we're not allowed to offend anybody, but usually people had to take the Bible and say, I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you were making a vow to tell the truth. We make vows in court. We make vows in church. Young couple comes to the front on a certain date. The pastor meets them, and they've come to be married. And they make their vows in marriage to God. And remember, they promise to love one another, and to care for one another, for better, for worse, in sickness and health, for richer, for poorer, till death us do part. According to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I give thee my troth. Hereto I promise thee. And it's death, only death, that separates them from that vow. And dear friends, people need to remember the vows that they've made in church. I'll leave it there. And of course, we make our vows in a crisis. Things go badly. Maybe we're on a bed of sickness and we say, Lord, you know, if you would only put your hand upon me and touch me, that you would get me through this, Lord, I'll be a better person than what I've been. I'll give more time to you. I'll give more money to you. I'll give more service to you. I'll pray better. I'll do this, that, and the other thing. And then God hears them and blesses them and touches them and raises them up. And they forget all about what they've said. Brethren and sisters, we need to pay our vows. We need to pay our vows. Maybe you've promised the Lord to give him your life. You promised to do something for him. My, if you love him. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And he says this in verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's the chorus of praise. My, when the psalmist thought of all that the Lord had done for him, he praised the Lord. You would nearly think sometimes it's nearly a sin to praise the Lord now. My, it's a sacrifice that comes from our lips. Oh, dear friends, I wonder, do you offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips unto the Lord, the love of our heart? My, it should come forth from the praises and joy that comes from our soul. Brethren and sisters, my time is gone this morning. Can you say, I love the Lord? Do you love him this morning? Do you love him with all your heart? My, there's many reasons why we should be able to say that. When you think of all that the Lord has done for you, his goodness, he has heard you, he has helped you, he has held you. Oh, that the love of our heart might bring this response from our soul this morning. What shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I give back to the Lord for all his blessings towards me? I'll live for the Lord in the land of the living. I'll take the cup of salvation and pay my vows and offer to him the praises which he so rightly deserves. Brethren and sisters, this morning, may God revive and rekindle our love for him. Have a wee look back this morning and think of all that God has done for you and how faithful he has been to you, my, in good days and bad. And may your love for him grow so that you'll want to say, I will give thee.